Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Special coverage on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. I'm Brian Lehrer. We look now at Hurricane Sandy as an October surprise in the presidential race. An October surprise, you know, is usually a last-minute trick played by one of the campaigns. Maybe Sandy is an October surprise from God. Sean Trendy, senior elections analyst for Real Clear Politics, is with us now, author of The Lost Majority, his book about political polarization and how neither party has the support of most Americans these days. Hi, Sean. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Your column yesterday referred to a Hurricane Sandy lull in the tracking polls. Is polling not taking place the way it had been because of the storm?
Well, a lot of the pollsters that had been producing tracking polls have call centers in New Jersey. IBD Tip, Gallup, Rasmussen Reports is located in New Jersey, although I guess his call center is elsewhere. So it really has kind of slowed down the national polling that we've been getting.
Do you think Obama and Christie being new best friends is having an impact on the race?
It's too early to say, again, because we're not getting a whole lot of national polling in. The national polling we have has only shown marginal shifts. At the end of the day, I think, you know, I mean, a large chunk of the country, 20%, has already voted in early voting. And I think perceptions of the president are pretty much baked in the cake at this point. I think it's too late to really shift the dynamic much.
You would expect Governor Christie to be respectful toward the president during an emergency like this. But he's been effusive and over again. Here's an example from yesterday.
It's been a great working relationship to make sure that we're doing the jobs that people elected us to do. And I cannot thank the president enough for his personal concern and compassion for our state and for the people of our state. And I heard it on the phone conversations with him, and I was able to witness it today personally.
That was one of like three times just yesterday that he said things like that, and the president loved him right back.
Governor Christie, throughout this process, has been responsive. He's been aggressive in making sure that the state got out in front of this incredible storm. And I think the people of New Jersey recognize that he has put his heart and soul into making sure that the people of New Jersey bounce back even stronger than before.
So, Sean Trendy, I can tell you this is raising eyebrows in our area. Of course, we're in the thick of it here in the New York, New Jersey area. Where are you, and do you think this is making news nationally?
Yeah, I'm out in Columbus, Ohio. We just aren't hearing as much about it here. But, you know, I think, you know, Governor Christie has always had a reputation as a straight talker. I think that's probably exactly what's in his heart. But the other reality is that he has to run for election in a very blue state next year. So there is a political benefit as well to praising the Democratic president.
Do you think he's getting any blowback from the Romney campaign? Like, Chris, what are you doing, man?
No, I don't think so, because, again, you're talking about a very small slice of undecided voters at this point who are very much disconnected from the political process. They probably aren't even paying attention to that. We don't know what they pay attention to. Most of them, as a matter of fact, just won't end up voting. So I just don't see it really affecting the dynamic of the race that much.
Most of your column yesterday was about the divergence between the national popular vote polls, which are trending to show Romney up a little, and the swing state polls showing Obama hanging in there with slight leads in places like Ohio, Florida, Virginia, New Hampshire, and Iowa, despite losing ground since the first debate. What do you make of it?
I honestly, it is a big puzzle, and it should keep anyone who's trying to call this race definitively awake at night. A lot of people had thought that maybe Romney was heavily overperforming in some of the blue states or the red states, but the polling we've gotten recently has refuted that as well. So basically, the state polls are telling us something completely different from what the national polls are telling us, and it's a real puzzler.
Which you wouldn't expect. I think you wrote something like, if Romney was gaining X percent nationally. You would expect to see a certain percentage of that reflected in Ohio, just to take, you know, the obvious state as an example. But it doesn't seem to be coming up there as much as nationally. Is that just because all politics is local? And we know we have these situations in Ohio where actually unemployment is not as bad as it is in much of the rest of the nation, where a lot of blue-collar white males who might be rushing into the arms of Romney otherwise are connected to the auto industry and so are grateful for the bailout. David Brooks has been mentioning fracking and the failure of environmentalists to stop fracking in Ohio, which is helping the economy in Ohio, which ironically might be helping the Democrat. So do you think it just comes down to all politics is local in those ways?
Well, that you can certainly explain Ohio that way. The problem is, though, that at the end of the day, all the state vote has to add up to the national vote. And when you take the state polls, all of them, and weight them by the number of votes cast in the state, you end up with a picture that's about 2 points rosier for the president than the picture that the national polls are playing. So taken all together, these state polls are telling us something very different than what the national polls are saying.
What's going on with Florida, best you can make out, which I thought was trending pretty strongly toward Romney? There was some buzz in the media that maybe the Obama campaign was maybe giving up on Florida and focusing its time and resources elsewhere. But some of the polls won't quite give it to Romney.
Yeah, overall, we've had two polls, CBS, New York Times, Quinnipiac, and PPP, that have had Obama ahead. The rest of the polls we have in our average right now, we have five polls with Romney ahead and one poll with a tie. So I think Romney is ahead in Florida. I think it's not a done deal. He spent 3 days down there. Made three campaign stops there. But the president just released his final schedule. He's only going to Florida once. That suggests that he thinks his odds are better elsewhere.
You see polarization in some of the states as a zero-sum game. Tell me if I'm putting this wrong, but if I understood your piece right, Nevada, for example, swinging pretty Democratic in recent years, while West Virginia swinging pretty Republican. Is it a zero-sum game? Your book, which we've talked about before, is The Lost Majority, neither party having a majority. But one party or the other could still wind up with the next majority, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, someone's going to definitely win a majority in this of the vote. Well, not definitely, probably going to win a majority of the vote in this election. But long term, these things tend to cancel each other out. We've seen the swing of the Mountain West in the Democrats' direction. At the same time, we've seen places like Wisconsin, which would, 10-20 years ago would not have been a swing state in a close presidential election, is now, one of the states that could give Governor Romney electoral vote number 270. These things tend to kind of cancel each other out. When you gain strength with one group, it usually angers another group who goes to the other party.
Is the storm making it harder for Romney to criticize the president on the stump?
I think so. I think that, this is kind of a little bit of a national coming together moment, less so out in the swing states and everything. But I think that probably fades in the next day or two when the president gets back on the campaign trail. I think everything goes back to normal.
Will they get back to normal? I mean, maybe the president will use this to define his end game and try to end with a positive message. He's made so much of his campaign about trying to discredit Romney, but maybe he'll try to end with, here we are, all Americans pulling together, in the aftermath of the storm and in every other way kind of end game. And maybe Romney has to respond to that, or don't you think?
I think that ship has sailed. I mean, I think that they kind of chose their strategy, and the president can spend 5 days, striking a let's all come together note, but I just don't think that, I think it's too late to really sell that.
Do you think there are ads that are going to still burst upon the scene, or other things that are more below the radar than ads we might see on television or online, as so often happens in the last days of campaigns, things that are a little more below the belt and that they try to have fly below the radar?
Yeah, you know, we always expect an October surprise. There was, of course, the Bush DUI story breaking the weekend before the election in 2000. We've kind of been waiting for that in 2012. We're into November so far, and nothing's really broke. So I think there's a good chance that because this has been a fairly close race all along, they kind of dumped their opposition research on each other early on, and now they're just kind of coasting on momentum, waiting to see who wins.
What do you make of the real impact of the first debate? Because in a way, it's almost unbelievable what seems to be happening, that analysts spent the whole year saying there are very few undecideds. This is a polarized election. There doesn't seem to be much wiggle room. People know who they like. People know who they don't like. They hate the other party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the first debate comes along. And, you know, to be contrarian for a minute, all that happened was that Romney tacked a little bit to the center, and Obama didn't try to kill him. And this is going to swing like 9% of the popular vote?
Well, what happened, if you actually look very closely at the polls, is that the president doesn't come down much. The president comes down from about 49% in the polls to 48, maybe 47%. What happens is there's a huge uptick in Romney standing in the polls. And so what I think was going on was there was a large group of kind of soft Republicans that hadn't committed to Romney yet, because Romney hadn't really had a good news cycle or a good event in a very long time. And I think, I honestly think the debate was less about how President Obama looked than about how Mitt Romney looked, because for the first time in the entire campaign, he really looked like a credible president, and I think it brought those soft Republicans on board.
But it would mean that a lot of people weren't paying attention, because either they got convinced by all the negative advertising before that, that Romney was a radical who was going to, you know, do all those things they were saying he was going to do, or they got convinced from the primaries that he was a big flip-flopper who had been Mr. Moderate in Massachusetts and then was pretending he was all pro-life and all hardline on foreign policy and everything. And then he texts back to the center in that debate. I mean, why does anybody believe him at that moment?
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, first, I do agree with the larger point that the number of the idea that there's no undecideds has long been overrated. But I think it's people who wanted – I think you have to understand there's a section of people who wanted to believe in Romney who hadn't really been – because they tend to vote Republican. Romney was never going to get 43-44% of the vote. It was always going to be more like 47-48 if he could just have a moment to give these people something to hang their hat on. And I think that's what the debates did. He finally looked presidential. He finally looked like he was smart and in control, and kind of broke out of the mold in which he had been cast during the primary season in the run-up to the conventions.
Sean Trendy, senior elections analyst for Real Clear Politics and author of The Lost Majority, his book about political polarization and how neither party has the support of most Americans these days. Thank you so much.